if someone were to ask whether kindness was a primary characteristic of a Christian, the answer would be yes. And the Apostle Philip had this attribute. I always remember at my former church up in Kentucky, my organist was a principal of a local elementary school, and I would sub over there some. Donna was a fabulous principal, and she was not a desk sitter, you know, where she sat behind her desk all the time. She would go and visit the various classrooms, and that was very reassuring to those of us who were a substitute teacher. But Donna would get somehow her faith. You could see it in her work. And one day I was driving by the school and she had on the marquee out there, "Be kind one to another." Now, she didn't put down where the reference was. We knew it was out of the book of Ephesians. So Donna would do little things like that. And, you know, I think kindness is something that we all need to impart more toward other people. We live in such a world where it's a dog-eat-dog world and people like to tear others to shreds. It's become almost a norm, and that's sad where that has happened. Yes, but Philip was one person that I think needs to be set, really, be focused upon much more. Now, Philip's involvement with the church in Jerusalem was through serving among the fringe elements. Now, what do I mean by fringe elements? Those who may not be right in the center of attention or the spotlights continually shining upon them. And he served those fringe elements of society, such as widows and the needy. And so Philip did his work. He did it for God's glory and all that. But however, the persecution against Christians had begun, and the church began to scatter to the uttermost parts of the earth. Philip departed Jerusalem just prior to the actual persecution. And as I said last Sunday, we spoke about him by being in Samaria and where he started his preaching assignment. He wasn't to cross, that boundary. He was about ready to cross the boundary into regions that no devout Jew would even consider going to in those days. In fact, Peter was the first disciple to leave the nest among the disciples in Jerusalem. As I mentioned last Sunday, the only time he's mentioned in the Gospels is when the Greeks, there were a group of Greeks came to meet the Lord, and he took them to Andrew so Andrew could introduce them to the Lord. But other than that, Philip is not mentioned really in a focal point until you get to the book of Acts. Well, in this preliminary expansion of Christianity, it was a giant step because Christianity was all centered upon Jerusalem. His Samaritan mission completed, now God led Philip into a different direction. But a question must be asked and thought about. Why wasn't Philip permitted to remain in Samaria, since there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and people were responding in great numbers? Well, it was that another situation had arisen where God had plans for Philip in another region. An interesting fact is that God was using this disciple in a powerful way in touching people's lives in the borderlands around Galilee and Judea. They were Gentiles primarily that he was ministering to. But for Philip, it wasn't a return to the security of familiar territory in Judea, but outside the traditional Jewish-controlled territory. The new mission objective was set on a desert road in the direction of the ancient city of Gaza. It should remember that Gaza was the setting for the story. You remember Samson and Delilah in the Old Testament? Delilah was the barber and Samson was the strongest man in the world. And we know what happened about that case. But then, you know, things are still happening in the Gaza Strip. We read about it or hear about it or see about it on the news, what's been going on over there the past few weeks. You know, Gaza Strip is one of the few geographical places where it has still on the map thousands of years, even after Samson and Delilah. But it's always been a troubled area. This was not a heavily populated region compared to the Samaritan territory. So Philip began his journey toward Gaza. While on that desert road, Philip saw a person in a chariot, but didn't approach him. It said the Bible mentioned until the Holy Spirit prompted him to do so. The early church was not entirely people with birds of a feather who flocked together. It was a polyglot of varied cultures, races, and social classes. Well, unlike the church today, where congregations are separated according to social class or race, the early church thrived on diversity. The plot really could only be contrived by God here in this particular passage. Philip found an African in the desert, of all places, in a chariot, who was reading from the book of Isaiah. Again, the openness to reaching out to people on the fringe led Philip to the Ethiopian. As a matter of cultural interest, the Ethiopian man would have stood out dramatically, regardless if Philip was looking for him or not, or been led to him, because it was in this barren harshness of the desert landscape. This Ethiopian was dressed in, he was most handsome and well-dressed in technicolor wardrobes of plumed and feathers, believe it or not. So if you see something like that even today, it would lead you to drop your jaw, because he was there sitting in the chariot. I'm sure he had something like an umbrella over the chariot, because they mostly did. And he was reading the book of Isaiah. And so Philip must have been completely astonished by this sight. I recall one time when I was in Brazil, I got off the plane in Salvador, Brazil, in Bahia, the state of Bahia. I went to visit some missionary friends. They lived in the chocolate capital of Brazil called Itabuna. Nestle's had a big factory there. And I won't go into detail, but it was a yummy time for me there in Itabuna. But anyway, when I got off the plane, Bahia has a unique culture. The ladies there dress in a particular costume that's been around for years. They wear usually ankle-length skirts, but on their heads they carry baskets, and it's got fruit and flowers in it. Now, there was an entertainer here from Brazil years ago here in the United States. She was real popular in movies, named Carmen Miranda. She got her costume from those Baiana women. In fact, there's a Brazilian song called OKA Baiana Tang. What is it that a Bahia woman has? And it's those bananas in her headdress and everything. They look so scrumptious, I feel like grabbing one out of one of their baskets and eating it. But that was one thing that stood out. If you see somebody that's unusually dressed, you almost will stare, even though our mom and dad told us never to stare, but you can't help it sometimes, because people do dress in unique places. If their cultures are different, we all look and we are amazed by them all. But getting back to Philip here, Philip went up to this chariot, and this fellow was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. Her name was Candace, and he would have been quite powerful and well-educated. But that didn't matter to the big shots in Jerusalem of the temple. To them, he was an outcast in their opinion. While crossing another cultural barrier, Philip explained this Bible passage to this inquirer. He told the Ethiopian about the resurrected Jesus Christ and how he fulfilled the Isaiah passage of the Messiah, which was probably the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit began to open this African's heart to the gospel. An interesting aspect which escapes notice was another miracle story in the desert. You know, I read this on down here after I got past verse 35, and it said that, you know, he wanted to be baptized. Well, now, I don't know if you've ever been in a desert, but there's not much water in the desert. I mean, there might be an oasis somewhere, but according to the scripture, there was nothing like that mentioned. But guess what? Water appeared out of nowhere. The Bible does not explain where or when the water appeared in this arid and parched desert, but it was there. But returning to the characteristic of kindness, Philip reached out to him, and he began to minister to him, and he said, "I will baptize you." And he took him down into the water and baptized him. But you know, the thing about it is, this fella was convicted by the Holy Spirit to follow through becoming a new disciple of Jesus Christ. And so this fella was not of Philip's culture, race, or ethnicity, yet he reached out to him. But by understanding and believing, the Ethiopian realized that God loved him for whom he was, that he had access to God's grace. God sought to rectify the damage done to those who had been excluded by pious, self-righteous, religious elements. First, it had been the Samaritans, and now the Ethiopian. According with the teaching of the priestly writings out of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy, none would qualify to receive God's grace unless they were of the purest bloodline with no blemishes upon their body or soul. For the Ethiopian, he already had two strikes against him. For one, he was an African, and secondly, he was a eunuch. And so it was forbidden to even reach out to them, and it forbid such outcasts into the religious inner circle of Judaism. The oddballs were now placed on equal footing because of Jesus Christ. So I guess that lumps us all into that category, doesn't it, being an oddball? But we should never leave even oddballs out. God loves them as much as he loves us, and perhaps we may be an oddball or even eccentric too. The Ethiopian was someone Philip had never met, but God had provided the introduction. Never forget that people who enter our lives may be placed there by more than coincidence. I had an interesting encounter Friday. Many of you know I'm serving voluntarily as a guardian ad litem with the Department of Children and Families for Florida, for this area. And I've been assigned these two brothers. One is 5 years old, one is eight. And guess where they live? In Kathleen. So guess where I drove Friday. But the traffic was nice, and I'd met them before, and I'd taken them some toys from the guardian ad litem office downtown. And I got out, and oh, they came running and greeted me and hugging me, and I had the toys. And guess where I ended up sitting on the floor? I won't tell you how long it took me to get up, but I was sitting on the floor. And we just had the best time, and they wanted to start wrestling and jumping on me, and I had a good time with them. Now, under normal circumstances, I probably wouldn't have ever met them. But God blessed me with meeting some children that I had never encountered previously to one other visit. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was more blessed than they were. So a lot of times we may meet other people who may bless us, but also remember this. Remember what I opened up with? Be kind one to another, as Philip was. And he certainly showed his tender heart toward that Ethiopian, because God gives us grace to be able to reach out to others with faith, hope, and love. Remember that when you're out and about. And you may be inconvenienced, but sometimes that inconvenience may turn out to be a blessing. Remember, Philip didn't know who this guy was. But as children of God, we can make a difference in others who don't recognize God's love yet in their lives. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for receiving us into your bosom, and that we know that we are one of your children. Help us, O God, to be more like you and more like Philip the apostle, who reached out and touched others. And Lord, may we always be kind one to another, regardless of sometimes, O Lord, it may be time consuming. But we know what the world offers them, and it isn't anything close to the grace that you have. Help us, O Lord, to be understanding and grace-filled through and through. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen.